If you will, turn in your scripture to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And today I want to talk to you about thinking like God. Thinking like God. So if you get to Isaiah, move to verse 6. I'm going to start right there. I'll be using the New King James Version for most of what I do today. And so if you've got that version, great. Some of you have, 100 versions at your disposal. You can just tip-tap and get to it. But Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Everybody say, seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord.
While he may be found. Everybody say, found.
Found.
And call upon him while he is near. Everybody say, he is near.
He is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way. Everybody say, way.
Way.
Okay. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Everybody say, thoughts.
Thoughts.
Good. Let him return to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy on him. And our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Everybody say, abundantly pardon.
Abundantly pardon.
Okay. Now, verse 8. For my thoughts, everybody say thoughts.
Thoughts.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Everybody say thoughts.
Thoughts.
Trying to get you thinking today. Nor are my ways your ways. Everybody say ways.
Ways.
Says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may receive seed to the sower and bread to the eater, may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, everybody say word.
Word.
That's a big word right there. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing for which I send it. By the way, I do this little thing. You can do it too. I see somebody post a scripture, and I repost it, and I hashtag it with, fill Facebook with the word. Imagine if every Christian in the country started reposting every time they saw a Bible verse posted. And Facebook got so full of the word that they had to filter us all. Because we were ruining what they were doing, because it would just be almost nothing but the word if Christians reposted every time they saw the word. I'm just saying, I do it a lot. I could do it more probably, but what if we all did it? I've got it to the point where when I do it and I hit hashtag, fill Facebook with the word pops up and all I have to do is tap it. I've done it that many times. If you do it a few times, pretty soon it'll just pop up and the hashtag will be, boom, and it goes. Just worth thinking about. Anyway, during prayer on Wednesday evening, this last Wednesday evening, God was talking to me. And he does that when I slow down. He does that a lot when I slow down and focus. Now, I talk to God all day long. Some people think I'm talking to myself. But that wouldn't be intelligent conversation. So I talk with God. And I like talking with God. And so I talk about little things and big things. I talk about everything with God. Because things go better with God. I don't know whether you're aware of that. They really do. And so we were focusing, though, Wednesday night. And by the way, I encourage you to consider joining us. I already did that in announcements. During that time of prayer, I was reminded of this section of scripture in Isaiah. As I was praying, this started coming to me. And has anyone besides me noticed that the ways and thoughts of man do not begin to compare to the ways and thoughts of God? Have you noticed that? I think some people don't really believe it. Sometimes I think we think that our thoughts are good. Have you ever found yourself telling God something and realized that you're telling God something? You're not alone. There was a guy named Ananias who, you know, when he was told to go pray for Paul, on the street called Straight, he filled God in on what was going on with Paul's life as if God didn't know. God had to fill him in on what God wanted to do. You know, that's normal for us. We're human. And you know, even when our thoughts seem like they're really right, have you ever really thought that what you were thinking was really right, and then you realized you really missed it? Like it could be just off a little, and it just doesn't hit the mark. By the way, what is it that when you don't hit the mark, what's that called?
Sin.
Oh. Yeah. We won't go there. That's a whole, I can go a long time on that subject. I thank God that he sends his word. And I thank God when he does send his word. Because when he sends his word, it accomplishes everything that he sent it to do. That's why that Facebook thing could be interesting if you did that. Because who knows what's posting that word, what person might read that word, and then it accomplishes what God sent it to do, even though they weren't even open to the idea. It never returns void, the scripture says. It comes back and does what God sent it for. That's a powerful thing. You are the sower scattering seed. And that's why he sent Jesus, the Word. That's why Jesus was called the Word manifest in the flesh, John 1:14 says. God sends us his Word, and our ways and our thoughts get overcome. Aren't you glad you got Jesus helping overcome some of your stupid? Wouldn't it be great if he could just overcome all your stupid? Yeah. Can you imagine what life would be like if you could just think the way God thinks all the time? See, this has actually been on my mind. He reminded me of this scripture on Wednesday, but I've been having some thoughts. I think they came from a couple other Wednesdays. As I was thinking, what would it be like to think like God all the time? But we can't do that, right? I mean, it says right here that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, you know, and by the way, I think the Apostle Paul confirmed that we can't think like God all the time because he says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness for him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And of course, we're all just natural. Because we're just people. We're just mere men. That's how we are. Duh. Especially the men. The women men are, but the men are just sometimes, you know. What? So we could say that Paul's agreeing, I suppose, and there's just no way to think like God. Or is he? Is he? Because we read the next verse, but he who is spiritual judges all things. That's verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And I'm like, judge. And so I looked it up. I thought I'd read it in some other versions to really get a grip on what he's trying to say in relationship to the natural man doesn't receive the spiritual things. What is he trying to say right here? The Phillips translation had a really good way of saying it. It says, the spiritual man, on the other hand, has an insight into the meaning of everything, though his insight may baffle the man of the world. Oh. Have you ever been in the company of someone who was receiving heavenly intel? They were getting some inside stuff from the Spirit of God. And initially, you were maybe thinking, those people are a little nuts, aren't they? Have you ever been around that? Where your first response was, that looks a little crazy. Yeah. That happens a lot in revivals. If you study revival, you'll find out that there are a lot of people who struggle when revival comes because stuff starts happening that doesn't make sense unless you're in the Spirit. And you start looking at it from the natural way of thinking, and you're just like, I don't, that doesn't, and then you get touched. And then it's hilarious. I've told this a bunch of times, but I'm going to use it as perfect illustration. We had somebody up here teaching. Donna De Silva from Redding, California, was here doing the Sozo thing with Teresa Liebscher. And Donna gets up on Sunday morning, and she starts preaching. And every once in a while, Donna gets touched by the Spirit. And she's just talking, and she said something about, and the Lord said, whew. And then she'd go a little while, and the Lord said, whew. And Eddie Jewell, who used to be our associate pastor, was back here someplace. And he was with some people who he had known well, and they were kind of new to what was going on in our church. And he's kind of back there, and he's just kind of joking about it. And I saw it because I was in the back. And then all of a sudden, I look over, and he goes, his eyes got this big. And he did that for about 30 minutes. The Holy Spirit was just messing with him. He couldn't stop it. Yeah, sometimes we think people are a little crazy when things start to happen. And then it goes on in verse 16. I want you to catch up here. Verse 16, For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, we have the mind of Christ. Do you really? I do too, but I just can't remember where I put it. Daggone it, it's around here somewhere. Some people will say, it's right there, it's your Bible, that's your mind of Christ right there. Well, that's not completely wrong. So what Paul's saying here is really interesting, because he's saying that we can think like God. And we all kind of know that, at least in this group. I think there are some people who lean on Isaiah 55 really hard because they don't want to have to think like God. Or they don't think anybody can think like God. God's not inviting us to think like him and then not letting us think like him, though. We can have the mind of Christ. We can think like God thinks. And sometimes that's completely different than the way we would think. Now, we can't do it on our own. Don't get me wrong. I don't do it all the time. But I ought to. And when I don't do it, I've missed something. Oh yeah, there's that missing the mark thing again. Yep. But we can access the mind of Christ via the Holy Spirit. And we can ask God to give us his mind on any and every issue. And we ought to practice on any and every issue. Like every little thing. Everything. Because if we could get really good at doing it with the little things, where every little thing was blown about by the breath of the Spirit, what would we be like when it came time for the big things? Now, I want you to remember a couple more things that Paul says. Here's something he says in his letter to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many are signing up for life and peace? Yeah, I want it. Yeah, I do. I want life and peace. I want life and peace for my family. I want life and peace in my job. I want life and peace everywhere I go. I want to be a distributor of life and peace. I want to be contagious with life and peace. I want people to find life and peace because I just have a lot of life and peace to give. If we're not experiencing life and peace in any situation, maybe that is evidence of what or where our mind really is. And then later in the same Romans letter, Paul goes on to say, and I use this verse a lot, I love it, Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed? Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many think if you were in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in everything that you did, that things would be pretty amazing? Yeah, they would. They would. So here I was praying on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, I was listening to a message by Bill Johnson from what would have been last Sunday night, I think. It was the last Sunday night message that they had, and it was either last Sunday night or the week before, and they're a week behind, I don't know. And this was his text. Listen to this text for a minute. Mark 9:2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves. And there he was transfigured. Everybody say transfigured. Okay, before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. By the way, one of the versions says it was his clothes showed like lightning. There's three accounts of this in three of the four Gospels. Imagine something as bright as lightning. That's bright. Then Peter answered and said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. By the way, Bill was funny. He said, I've been around a lot of people who didn't know what to say, who kept talking. And I thought to myself, yes, I'm one of those people. When I don't know what to say, I talk more. Some people get really quiet, and I'm just like, I'm finding words. Sometimes they're the wrong words, but at verse 7, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Jesus' appearance became so brilliant when he was transfigured that it was hard to describe. There wasn't human language for it. And this word for transfigured, which you can read if you can read Greek, the original language, is the same word for transformed in Romans 12, verse 2. So if we renew our minds, our thinking will be transformed beyond our natural ability into supernatural brilliance. How many of you would like people to just hang around you and say, they're brilliant? Nobody's ever done that to me, but I would love it. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. And it's like, and he was talking along these same lines about this renewing of the mind thing too, but it was just so amazing because I'm thinking about this stuff on Wednesday and Lord reminds me of something he said to me a little earlier, and then Thursday morning and I'm thinking, I've got to share this on Sunday. I've got to share this on Sunday. So how many of you want that? I'm tired of my stinking thinking. How about you? What you're thinking, not just my, now you're looking, you're tired of my stinking thinking. Probably. But I mean your stinking thinking. Yeah, we all have it. And once in a while, we do have those moments, don't we? We have those moments where we're really like, it's inspired. We can tell it's coming from God. We're excited. We're having a... By the way, I think it's legal to cheat. See, the world doesn't have this. Like, you can apply this to everything in life. Where the rest of them are just trying to figure stuff out, you can actually pull on Holy Spirit and say, tell me what would be brilliant in this situation. What would you do? You know, what is this going to look like if I let Holy Spirit in on everything? It's kind of like cheating. But I think it's the opposite. See, the world and the systems of the world are cheating people out of what God has for them. And if you lean into this favor and lean into this that God has for you, you get to, it's like going to Cedar Point and getting to go right onto the coaster. Joyce can identify with that anyway. If nobody else can, Joyce is like, yes, I don't have to wait in line. You just straight in and get on it. Have you seen people do that, by the way, and it's irritating when they're, I stood in line for 2 hours and now they're cutting in front of me. Well, you get to cut in front of everybody if you allow yourself to access the mind of Christ. I believe you can and should have more. I believe we all can have more. And I believe God wants us to have that more. So, how do we do that? I can say it. I can encourage you in it. But then you need some plan, right? Some kind of plan. I'll give you a few thoughts. There are probably a whole lot of others. I mean, coming to prayer helps. I've mentioned that now a bunch of times until you're starting to be irritated. Okay. So how do we do that? I would say the first thing we probably need to do is repent. Let's change the way you think in case you have forgotten. It's not just, I'm such a failure. No. Sorry, God, I've been missing out on something you have for me. I repent. I don't want to miss out on what you have for me. Show me how to get what you have for me. So think of it this way. Here's a statement for you to maybe even repeat here in a second. Anytime I am not thinking like God thinks, I need to repent. Say it. Anytime that I am not thinking like God thinks, I need to repent. You do. You're missing it. Anytime I'm not thinking like God thinks, I'm missing it. I need to figure out how God thinks about it. If I'm thinking about something and I can't, what do you think? I'm sorry, Lord. I need your help. If I could think about every little thing the way God thinks, every little thing would come in line with what God wants. Again, I'm not talking about feeling bad and crying. You know, don't whoop on yourself. Oh, I'm just so bad. No. Jesus already took care of that. Stop it. It's changing the way we think. So, maybe, how many of you have heard of WWJD? What would Jesus do? Maybe instead of that, it's now WWJT. What would Jesus think? What would Jesus think? How would he approach this? I mean, you might find yourself in a wedding sometime where they've run out of wine. I don't know. Generally speaking, we're like, well, I don't know. How much money have I got? You know, we're not thinking about it the way he's like, he's not even going to do it. And his mama says, yeah, you're going to do that. Oh, I guess I am. And then there's this verse that might help us a little bit. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 4 and 5. This passage says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do we take every thought captive? What does that look like? Do we get these little spiritual lassos and, oh, I just said something stupid. Come on. By the way, I'm a verbal processor. I know some of you aren't. Some of you think about it for a long time. And bless you, it's a gift that I wish I had sometimes because I don't. I'm like, what did he say? I don't know. How am I supposed to think? Why? I'm talking to myself. I try to talk to God, try to focus myself to figure out things. I honestly think, though, that this taking every thought captive might be a little harder in the day that you live in. Now, God didn't punish you, put you here to punish you, but this is really tough in the day that we live in, all right? It is tough, and I think it might be a little tougher than maybe in past eras. 100 and whatever years ago, just a little over 100 years ago, most people had horses and buggies and carriages and, you know, and There wasn't radio. There wasn't TV. They didn't have internet. If they wanted to hear music, there were only a few places you could go to hear it in a lot of cases. You'd go down to the local saloon. You'd go to church. There were opera houses. There were a few places, but for the most part, you made your own music or you didn't have music. And a lot of people knew a lot of hymns, a lot of songs. And they were surrounded by a lot of quiet. Have you noticed there isn't much quiet in the world you live in? We are surrounded by a constant barrage of stuff, thoughts, concepts, ideas being thrown at us. Most of them trying to sell us something. Advertisements. You go down the road, you see signs. Signs, sign, everywhere signs. Some of you remember that old song. You know, we're being bombarded constantly. And I think it has an effect on our thinking, don't you? Maybe I should have looked up a bunch of old commercial, like, jingles and started singing one and to see whether you'd know what it was for. And there's a whole bunch of them out there today, you know. Just automatically your mind goes to those things because you've heard it so many times. So how do I saturate myself with what God's saying and with what God said? And what if that's the key to more God-like thinking? Because I think it is. Because the other stuff's having an effect on our thinking, but we need more of His effect on our thinking. I do, if I want to be naturally supernatural. So, while technology that we have all around us today can be a detriment, it can also be a blessing. It can also be a blessing. I've mentioned since the beginning of the year a couple of times that I've been listening through the Bible. It's free. Bible Gateway app is one of the places you can go, and you can click on different versions and listen to guys dramatized and not so dramatized, and, you know, just listen. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not hearing everything that I'm hearing. Like, some of you sitting in this room have already not heard everything I said because I said something that got you thinking and you went, poof. I know I do it when I go to conferences and listen to preachers. They'll say something. The wonderful thing about technology nowadays is a lot of what I listen to is on some kind of a screen or some kind. And if they say something, I just, poof, I pause it. What did they just say? Back a little bit. Play. That's that. What? Why didn't I hear that before? Why didn't I see that when I read that the last time? Why didn't I? Wow. That's making me think. But I know I'm missing some things. That's why I'm just going to do it over. Although I'm really feeling maybe led to the book of Acts, which I'm in the middle of right now. I might listen to the book of Acts like 20 times. Some good stuff. But I'm going to finish the New Testament first. And it will have taken about a half a year. So I could maybe, the whole thing. So I could maybe do the Bible twice in a year if I want to. And if that's going on in the background, yes, I'll get distracted. Yes, I'll miss bits and pieces. But if I do it over and over and over and over and over, how many of you know if my wife says stuff over and over and over and over and over, I eventually hear it. Well, she's not sure about that. But you're not the great I am living forever, you know. So you're not going to be able to keep up with this poor man. We have access to almost everything even taught in this church going back like 6-7 years on YouTube. There are podcasts little just audio only things available on our website. You can go back and you can hear a lot. Not that you want to, but you could. You could. And there are literally millions of messages out there available from great ministries and great people that you can listen to. So I try to listen to something from some other ministry every week, usually two or three times. Summer's my favorite because I listen while I'm mowing. I put in some earbuds and put on some headphones and turn it up and just listen to it. It's not hard to drown out my little push mower. And it's a good thing. There are so many resources that we can saturate our thinking with the Word. Not just the written Word, but the spoken Word and the voice of the Spirit speaking through anointed people to where God can speak to our heart. And it becomes natural to us to think more like He thinks. I'm not saying that I'm already thinking to that level. I'm just saying the more I try to think like that, the more likely I am to think like that. And I wanted to destroy the myth because I've heard it preached by preachers. Well, our ways are not His ways and our thoughts are not His thoughts. And you're not trying to be in the Spirit. You're just trying to be in the natural and serve God out of your natural man. But we're supposed to serve Him in spirit and in truth. So it's possible to put on the mind of Christ. If you're only putting the mind of Christ on for 30 seconds a day, will your life be better if you move it up to a minute? This is yes. Right here. Yes. The more you can move yourself into a process, a thought process that is the mind of Christ, the more you can cover in a day that is according to the will of God. And if I want to think like God, then I need to listen even more to what He's telling me. And telling us, His church. So I wrote this down in bold letters. I don't know if I'll make you repeat it or not, but think about it as I read it. The more I saturate my thinking with the Word, the more I think like God. The more I saturate my thinking with the world, the less I think like God. The more I saturate my thinking with the Word, the more I think like God. The more I saturate my thinking with the world, the less I think like God. It's hard to think like God when I'm constantly having stuff poured into my... pop my brain open and somebody drops... Yeah, not good stuff. Fill in the blank, whatever icky word you want for what's being dropped on us so often. By the way, it's not just, I mean, it is the news media, don't get me wrong. But it's not just the news media, you can be just enjoying a Hallmark movie. And the worldliness in certain parts of it can become something that is like, oh yeah, and you're not thinking like God anymore. It's really interesting to think, what if we're being entertained right out of thinking the kind of thinking that will bring life and peace? Let me ask that question again. What if we are being entertained right out of the kind of thinking that will bring us life and peace? It seemed like it was fun. We just, you know, enjoyed that little bit of entertainment. And then we went home but it was putting something in there. It's just a little poison. Wow. Boy, am I going to be convicted after I preach this. I don't know about you. Man, would you just shut up, Tim? I'm not saying you can never be entertained or listen to anything, but we need to be aware, because there's being saturated and then there's being slightly touched by it, but being saturated by something else. It's hard to fill a sponge that's already full. So a little something will try to get in it, but if it's already full, you give it a squeeze and whatever was trying to get in goes right back out. That life and peace in Romans 8:6 could be ours on a more regular basis, and sometimes it's not, because we're not thinking like God thinks. And what if all of the stuff that we are consuming is actually consuming us? And in so doing, it's keeping us from a life that proves what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. I want to live that life. I want to live a life that shows the goodness of God everywhere I go. So we're just going to stop right there. And I'm just going to have you say this one more time. The more I saturate my thinking with the Word of God, the more like God I become. That was good right there. Y'all needed that. If you didn't need it, I needed it. Too late. That little clap wasn't enough. I just got that from John last week. Let's all stand up. Put a couple of hands on your head like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, heal this head. Change my thinking. I can think like I should think. I can think like Jesus. I want to think like God thinks. Fill me full of your presence and your Spirit and your Word, and saturate me so that I can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in front of all the people around me, so they may know you, so they may know you more. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would just touch every single one of us in this room, that there would be something this week that we would look for an opportunity to adjust so that we are getting a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until, Lord, indeed we become saturated. We become saturated with God thoughts. Help us, Lord. That's what we want. That's what we need. And more than that, that's what the world needs from us. That's what our families need from us. So work in us, Lord, and change our thinking. We repent, Lord. We give you our minds, our whole beings. Transform us. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.